Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's beautiful 18th District. Sean, climate change, everybody talks about it, but what are the solutions?
Well, we've got a lot of solutions, and what's exciting is that they're ongoing despite the hostility of this administration to the science, to the whole subject. You know, it's one of the great disappointments of my service in Congress to watch the Republican Party just walk off the field and refuse to engage us on this subject when it's the fate of our whole planet. It's our kids' future. My God, what is more urgent? I support going big. I support growing the economy while we do it. I know that's hard. We should hit that challenge. That is the moonshot. We need to be Americans about this. We need to demand that we do two things at once. Save the climate, reduce emissions dramatically between now and 2050, and we can do that, and grow our economy so we have a higher standard of living that is more broadly felt, more shared prosperity than ever before. I know we can do that, and the way we're going to do that is by investing heavily in carbon capture, because we're going to continue to rely on federal fossil fuel sources for decades, but we can reduce emissions simultaneously. My friend John Delaney has a great idea, who's running for president, former colleague in the House, has a great idea about creating a carbon capture pipeline to attract industries to areas where we also want to reduce carbon emissions. There's all kinds of good solutions. We should price carbon in the market. I have legislation that would do that. We should absolutely...
What does that mean, price carbon in the market?
That means we need to build into the price of all carbon-intensive products the cost that it's causing us, the way we would say GE pumped, you know, PCBs into the Hudson River for 40 years, sold a bunch of products for cheap. The cost of that cleanup should have been internalized, as the economists say, into the cost of those products. So we would have done it cleanly along the way. Now we're paying billions of dollars to clean up the river 40 years later. We're still chasing GE on that. The basic concept in environmental economics is that if there's damage being done to the environment, you know, you've got to price the product appropriately. That way you'll do less of it, or you'll do it more cleanly, because it's hugely cheaper to avoid the damage than to clean it up. This is happening on a global scale with climate change. So pricing carbon means adding into the price of all carbon products the cost that it's costing us. And we can do that and refund that money to taxpayers who would be otherwise bearing it at the price of the pump or oil companies. You refund the money because you're not trying to raise people's taxes. You're just trying to have the market price the product effectively. I have legislation on this. There's information on this out there people can find on the internet. It's pretty down in the weeds. We can also do things like scale up conservation, something called property assessed clean energy legislation that I wrote and have in the House that I'm pushing that would allow homeowners, everybody listening, to do energy efficiency improvements, finance it if necessary through their property tax bill, and that would transfer with the deed. So millions of people could retrofit their homes, save money, give local contractors work, finance it over time, and pay for it, therefore, with the savings. That's a win-win. We should do that nationally. There's other solutions that I think are very important. We shouldn't have pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. I'm glad the United States is meeting its goals, by the way. That should be cause for celebration. We should be leading the world. And here's one last point, Alan. The Chinese, people should know, the Chinese are spending hundreds of billions of dollars on clean and renewable energy. And it's not because the Communist Party in China loves the environment. It's because they want to win the future. Do we want to win the future? Do we want to create those manufacturing jobs here? Do we want to lead the world in clean energy? My answer is yes, we should.
You are announcing a new veterans agenda. What's in it?
Well, we've got to do more to help our veterans. And so what I've been focused on is making sure that returning vets are known to the service agencies that are there to help them. Right now in America, when you serve your country, you don't get an automatic notification to your local veterans agency when you return home. That means they have to wait till someone comes to them, or they have to wait till there's a problem, somebody's suffering from PTSD or traumatic brain injury, things that could have been addressed proactively. So one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure, through a bill I call Know Your Vet, is that everybody coming home has the election of having automatic notification to county-level veteran service agencies. That one thing would make a huge difference, particularly with younger vets who don't seek out help. But there's other things we could do around homelessness. I've got legislation that would allow for rehabbing zombie homes so that they could be made available to homeless veterans to help them get off the street and to get some home equity. There's a lot we can be doing to help our vets.
Are you hearing a lot from veterans who are in bad shape?
Yeah, we help hundreds of veterans a year. I mean, it's about half of the $20 million that we've been able to secure for people who've come to my office looking for help. About half of that money has gone to military veterans and their families. We've helped thousands of military families over the last 6 years. Some of the best work we do. You know, there's a guy named Ed Kakis who's in his house in Sparrow Bush, New York today because we got his disability claim finally addressed by the VA. There's lots of little success stories like that. So if someone listening is a veteran or part of a military family and you're having trouble really with anything, with housing, with health care, with the VA system, with a disability claim, with PTSD or traumatic brain injury, you know, there are good resources out there. Your county veteran service organizations can help. Call my office in Newburgh. We want to help. Some of the best work we do.
Sean Patrick Maloney, I know that you've been a leader in this. How's the work on the opioid crisis going?
Oh, my goodness. This is such an important issue. The good news, if you can say that in the same sentence with the opioid crisis, is that we've passed the most important anti-addiction legislation in 40 years in Washington. Now, we need to get at all six areas of this problem, and those areas are prevention and treatment, of course, because that's so important. But we also have to get at recovery. That means more recovery beds. That means fighting efforts to destroy healthcare reform, because those are the dollars, the Medicaid dollars that pay for those treatment beds. It means overdose death prevention. That's why we've been so active at getting Narcan training out there and more Narcan supplies to families and first responders into the hands of people like librarians. And I carry a Narcan kit. We also have a law enforcement.
Wait. What do you do? You carry a Narcan kit. What do you do with it?
I have it in the glove compartment of my official vehicle so that if we encounter someone who's experiencing an overdose, we can save a life. That happens every day in the Hudson Valley, and it's a sad reality, but Narcan will save a life. So overdose death prevention is important. And the other two things I want to mention, Alan, because they matter, is law enforcement. We've got to support law enforcement, of course, and this cannot take our eye off the ball on that. But in addition, we need criminal justice reform, the sixth thing, which is so important because we should be getting low-level chronic addicts out of the criminal justice system and into treatment. So we should be giving police officers the discretion to say this is a chronic opioid user or alcoholic or substance abuser. We're not going to keep indicting them. We're not going to keep costing taxpayers money. We're going to take them directly to treatment, and we're going to provide longer treatment with more effective therapies. You know, I'm a big fan of medication-assisted therapies, but there are lots of different approaches. It's a huge problem. You know, moms and dads got to be involved in this, families across the Hudson Valley. If you've got prescription opioids sitting around in your house from some surgery years ago or from a parent's illness or something, please take those back to the pharmacy. Take them to your police department. We know 75% of heroin usage starts with prescription opioids, and so many kids are losing their lives. So many families are being destroyed by this. Get this stuff out of your house. Don't let a doctor prescribe more than a few days for you without very good reason. You know, there's lots. I've passed legislation in Washington that would incentivize drug companies with faster approval times for medicines if they build in anti-abuse technologies. That's a smart way to prevent prescription drugs from causing addiction problems. So there's different approaches on this, but man, it starts with talking to your kids, talking to your families, making sure your doctor isn't giving you too much of this junk. It is a terrible problem.
Sean Patrick Maloney, thank you so much for spending these days with us. We very much appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you the next time.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Thank you.